So this is the Sprint Showcase for Sprint 120. Let me share my screen, we can get started. Can someone just let me know when that comes through?
Yeah, we can see it.
Excellent. And then I will just say that my internet connection has been a little bit in and out today. So please let me know if something happens and it stopped working, or you can't hear me, or my screen's not coming through, or something. All right, so let's get started. We'll start off with Team Mind the Gap. On this sprint, they were working on completing the multiple supplier partner screens, designing the UI for consolidated notifications, and then adding wrapped code integration for the SMS notifications. They completed 16 story points across 5 tickets, although one of those tickets, it looks like, does not have any story points associated with it. So Sam, if you get the chance, you could update that to reflect the work that was actually done. I appreciate it. On to Team Ona. Team Ona was finalizing the NiFi templates for the measure reports, as well as working on scoping of the rights and the roles. They got through 13 story points across 7 tickets. To JSI. JSI was working to continue the kitting features, continue working on them, creating additional API endpoints to support the work needed for that kitting work, and then also working on a few quick win tickets. They completed 18 story points across 5 tickets. And lastly, we have Team Parrot. They were working on the reporting rights per superset report, per superset report, and a proof of concept of the application level caching for at least one resource. And they were also doing the Sprint Spirit Guide. Wait. The Sprint Spirit Guide was Winnie the Pooh. I have no idea what that means, Sebastian. Okay. There was 16 story points completed across 6 tickets, and another 0-point ticket here. So Sebastian, if that had any work associated with it, please update that ticket to reflect the number of story points that were done. All right, we can take a look at Sonar. And I did notice, if someone could let me know, what is this failure on the reference data service about?
Probably the failures on reference data are on me because there is some issue with implementing serializable, but I actually changed the approach of caching. So with further changes, this Sonar should be fixed. Because I will get rid of implementing serializable interface. So.
All right. Thank you. I looked through earlier, I didn't see any other projects that were failing except for these branch ones. I don't know if we should delete these or what, but we know that they're not on any of the core branches. So I don't see anything else that's failing. All right. So to start with the team updates, I'm going to hand it over to Ashraf. Started.
Okay, so I should start first. Okay, let me share my screen first.
There you go.
Let me know when you see my screen.
I can see it.
Okay, so we're on the sprint 120. And as Wes just mentioned, that we're focusing on the initial work for the kitting. Kit, we expect, is going to take some additional sprints to complete the full epic there. But we already made good progress. And as we discussed earlier, the kits also, you know, touches on the orderables. So we're also having to, you know, deal some of the additional tickets with orderables. And Josh has been very kind of helpful about that as well. And we'd also talk a bit about, you know, what progress we made on that, and particularly Elias will give a briefing on that. So in addition to the kits, we are also working on the reference data upload, which was, you know, kind of DIAL-funded project, but we also needed to finish it up. So we also started working on it, but we haven't been able to really, complete those tickets. As you can see, one is to create a kind of microservice for the reference data, and another is to fix the APIs or do additional work on the APIs to accept the data, the uploaded kind of data. So that was for the reference data. And also, Adunia was working on the front-end portion of the kits, meaning that, you know, when you go to the screens for the orderables or on the stock management unpack, so the screens and the interactions there. So he was working on those. And I would see whether he's on the Zoom meeting. If not, then I will give an update on his behalf. And in addition to Adunia and Elias' work, like Hassan has also worked on two different tickets. One is 5850, another is 5885. Although they're still not in the done category, but we expect that by the end of the day that they would go to the done category. They're still being tested, and he's expecting if there is any kind of feedback that he might get for 5850, he will address it, and then we will do a quick test. And if the test passes, then we will put it to the done category. And Adunia also, TechLuels also worked on two other tickets, which are 5852 and 5853. And I would also check and see whether he is on the Zoom meeting. If not, I can also give an update on his behalf about this. Let me check whether Adunia is on the call. Then I can pass it on to him for the showcase. Adunia, are you on the call?
He was, but he just dropped off, it looks like.
Okay, so let me see whether I can talk on his behalf. That's the second one. Okay, so in terms of the UI, so these are the changes that he has done. One is on the orderables. You'd recall in our last sprint, we presented on the mockup. So that was the mockup, but this is the actual work now. So in the first screen that there is, you know, implementation of that like mockup within the orderables so that you can pick the kits. And then if you wanted to create an unpack list for the kit, then you would click on this button on this right side. And then once you click on it, then it pops up the product list there. So idea is that you pick the constituent products to add to the kits. So that portion is done and is working so far. And then once you added the kits and come back to the orderable screens, and now you see the constituent products added there, and also the quantities so that you can update the quantities, because, you know, not just one-to-one, there could be like additional quantities of a particular products that gets added to the kit. And Wes also provided some feedback earlier that we should provide some kind of delete feature there. So that's what we are also implement that in, at least in terms of the UI, we have implemented that feature. And then once you save it, then it give you the feedback that it has been saved. And then you come back to the initial orderable screen. So that was the thing for the orderable kind of UI, the changes that he has done. And now let me go to the second part, which is in the stock man, which is in the manage. You recall in earlier to create another world of unpack. So the feedback that we have received is that we should rather go with the unpack, which is a clean option. So that's what we have implemented. So you'd come to the stock management, you'll click on the unpack, and once you click on the unpack, then you pick the quantities to unpack. And there is also quantity on hand here. So like if you have like 100 and you wanted to unpack not all of them, so you would be able to put the quantity that you like to unpack. And if you recall in our earlier mocha for this unpack operation, we are also showing the constituent product just below that. And we have received feedback from like Nicodem and Josh that, you know, it breaks the OpenLMIS kind of style guide. So we, in response to that feedback, we have taken away that portion. So it's now much more cleaner. So then once you like submit it or like save it, then it just says that what has been saved, and then it comes back to the initial screen. So, and also I, you know, perhaps explained it earlier that this is the front end work and Elias has done the back end work, and Elias is gonna talk about the back end work, but the full hooking up the front end to the back end, meaning to persist the changes that the user would have done. So that portion of the work is still not done. And that would be additional tickets in the upcoming sprint. And hopefully with that, all of the changes that you see here in terms of the UI, they would then like persist in the OpenLMS database. So that's the work that Adunia has done. And let me see whether I can also talk about Techlu's work. Yeah, Techlu has worked on two different tickets. One is on the supervisory node, and another, I believe, on the supervisory name. So the issues were that the earlier implementation allowed you to have a different instances of the supervisory nodes or the supervisory like name. If you change, you know, some letter so that they are not in uppercase it was not case sensitive case insensitive. So that's the that's the fix that was done there. That I believe is, so I talked about the Adunia's work, Techlu's work, and also Hassan's work. So now let me pass it on to Elias, and Elias can talk about his part of the work. Elias.
This spring, I have primarily worked on one aspect of the
work. Elias, I can't really hear you, although I can see your screen.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
In just one moment.
Maybe if you come a bit closer to the mic, it might be better.
I'm so close to it, like I have a headset and it's right on my head.
If you're talking now, we can't hear you at all.
I'm still talking.
Oh, now I can hear you again.
Okay, let me try to be a little louder and let's see if it works
better. Okay, I don't doubt it, that should be fine.
All right. In this sprint, I primarily worked on the one aspect of the orderables, which is being able to support the kitting. And I've also worked on the reference data uploads as well. When we talk about the kitting work, the first work that was complete is the research of the models and going through iterations of the design change that's needed to support the kit unpack list. This is something that we worked in collaboration, and Josh was of immense support here. we completed the research and decided to add the children records on each orderable if they are kit, and that the implementation of that design is another ticket here, which is the product kit support. In this, what we have implemented is an API where when you create an orderable, you would be able to include children, and those children would be containing a reference to the orderable as well as the quantity of that specific constituent product. So here, the orderables put API was updated, and when you create a new orderable, you'd be able to specify which orderables are children of that orderable. In other words, if the orderable itself is the kit, you can say this kit constitutes these other orderables. So this API is updated, and if I submit this, you would be able to create that orderable with the constituent product. And as you can see, the first version of this orderable contains a reference to the orderable that's a child of this orderable. The next work that I've worked on is, again, here, this is a lot of collaboration with Josh. As I was working on the kits, we discovered that there was an issue with the orderables update. The update was not supported, and I think it has some historical reason why the update was disabled, even though the concept of versioning was introduced with the orderables. The update was not supported. So if you put an update to this API, it was throwing an error, and Josh worked on half of that work, and I continued on that to make sure that the update API is working. So here, what that means is if I wanted to update this orderable, I'll be able to take the ID here and we will be able to include any change here. For example, I can remove this child. If we put this, notice that it has returned a valid orderable, and the child record is removed. And as you can see, the version has also incremented. It's not the same version as the previous one. This is implemented, and if we wanted to get any of the versions, that's also currently supported. So for example, if I wanted to get the first version of that orderable, the first version had children. But if I wanted to see the latest version of that orderable or version 2, you can see that there's no child, or that edit was persisted, and this is one implementation that was complete in this sprint.
So, like Wes, back to you. I think that's all from our side.
So if you have any questions, over.
Great, guys. Any questions for any of the work that GSI was working on? Okay, I'm not hearing anything. So we can move on now to Craig or Clay for team owner.
Sure, hi everyone. Let me share my screen.
All right, it's coming through.
Cool. Just to go through kind of the tickets that we wrapped up this sprint, I'll speak to a few of them. This was residual from last sprint. I had it as in review, but the configuration guide for Superset, we got moved to done. Jeanette will speak about her tickets here. And just one note on our capacity as well. Both Antoinette and myself were on leave last week, so that's why, you know, our story points might have been a bit lower than normal for this sprint, but we're both back now. Jeanette, if you could speak to the progress around FIRE and the tickets that you wrapped up. You want me to stop sharing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the tickets, about building FIRE templates based on a requisition template, which we are going to use NightFly to do. So this fast processor group is showing the flow where we are essentially getting our requisition from the OpenLMI API. Then from that requisition, we are getting specific things that we are measuring. And then on top of that, we are getting a list of the approved products for the facilities, because these are part of the measure resource that you build. So like this example here at the end is going to show a list of all the approved products, which you can see from here. So we are only showing the code and the product name. So we have like a list of all the products, and then we are using this list together with the list of measures which we have here. So we have 7 measures in total. We have the beginning balance, the total received quantity, flow consumed quantity, and then all these things that just got created. So we're building a different measure for each one, because we are going to build a different measure report resource for each one. So you can see here at the end, this one requisition, we are creating 7 different measures. And actually, to view it, it's an example of what the measure looks like. So you can see like this one is for beginning balance. It has the description. And then this will be the name of the program inside the measure report. Yeah. And then down here, it has a list of all the products. So based on the products that are currently in that requisition, you'll be able to show the value. Yeah, but this is just the measure that is influenced by the measure reports. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Craig, I don't know if you have anything that you want to add to that or to what I said, or if anyone else has questions.
I'm not hearing anything. All right, is there anything else, Clay, for the owner side of things?
That's all.
Ah, there we go. Now I can hear Greg.
Here I was talking to myself. So I wanted to share that there was a bug in the UAT reporting system that had to get reviewed and fixed. Anthony worked on that. We are Clay. There's the item here around the configuration guide for Superset. Do you want to touch on that?
Craig, say that again.
You have a ticket that you completed on the configuration guide for Superset.
Yeah, I actually showed it last week on the showcase. It was just left in review, and I moved it to done during the sprint.
Oh, okay, great. So the couple things that we didn't get to, scoping rights and roles, we'll continue to pick that up for the remainder of the week here. And then generating measure reports is under active development, but it wasn't... it wasn't able to be completed on time for this sprint. We wanted to also note that we're working on a path forward for the Happy FIRE server upgrade. The team is performing an analysis, and they're going to come up with a plan on what to do next with that upgrade. And Jeanette, I think that plan's coming today or tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So we'll have a clear path forward on that tomorrow. And that's it from my side.
Great. Thank you very much, Blaine. Were there any questions or comments for Team Ona and what they were sharing? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on now to Sam for Team Mind Big Gap.
Okay. Okay, so hi everyone. For Team Mind the Gap, we actually were able to close a few tickets right before the beginning of the showcase. So what we worked on this sprint was completing the multiple supply partner screens and then designing the UI for the consolidated notifications. We have started adding the RapidPro integration for SMS, but this ticket is still in progress and being tested, so we won't have that for you to see today. But today, for our showcase, Lukasz will review the digest feature that we implemented, and then Nikodim will give an overview of the supply partner screens and the UI design that we've done. So, Nikodim or Lukasz, which one of you wants to start off?
I can start.
Okay, I'll stop sharing.
Okay. I hope you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay, so in this sprint, I mainly work on digest feature. So basically, before adding this feature, the situation was that user retrieve a lot of notification about changes that happen in the system, like requisition status has been changed, requisition is ready to convert, or requisition has been converted, and so on and so on. And this is a problem when a user is assigned to a lot of supervisory nodes. So to change that, yeah, we simply implement the digest feature, which simply will aggregate notification. So instead of getting, for example, 10 notifications that are basically the same, the user will get a single notification. And yeah. So how this is done? One moment. Okay. I quickly check if this is okay. So one thing that we have to add it was a digest configuration, and those things are done by migration in the notification service. For now, we have only for requisition to check if everything works correctly, and yeah. In this resource, we define what message should be sent to user, what tag should be used to aggregate notifications, and yeah, and that's everything. Now user has ability to subscribe those configuration, and basically user select a configuration and define when the digest notification should be sent to him. Yeah. So, for example, in this case, we have that for all requisition digest notifications, user should get aggregate notification after 15 seconds. Basically, it should be set to some greater value, like 1 day, 1 week. But for showcase need, I change this to 15 seconds. And yeah. Okay, and now how it's work. So I will simulate that a requisition sent a notification to user, and that a requisition is has been converted. Yeah. So I quickly, one moment, I quickly check if administrator user has still the same email address. Should be the same. Okay. So now I simulate that I send 3 notifications. There's no response on the 200 status. And now we wait about 50 seconds. As you can see, I try this Arial and I get notifications. So instead of, for example, in this case, 3 notifications, I get only 1. There's a small issue with a new line, but from what I think, it's easy to fix them. It will be fixed tomorrow, probably. Okay, so you can see that there's new notification, single one, yeah, which informing that 3 requisition has been converted, yeah, because I simulate that 3 notification has been sent. And basically that's everything what I have to showcase. Do you have any questions, comments?
So if I understood this correctly, this is configurable on the user level, right? So one user can subscribe to have the notifications daily, and another can subscribe to have those notifications weekly?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so currently we only have the backend part for this, right?
Yes.
Is there a plan to have this configuration on the UI by the 3.6 release?
I would say yes.
Yes, we will be talking about the design for it in a second.
Okay. So I was just asking because I know that the Malawi implementation has been asking about this this feature for quite a while now. So they will definitely be happy to hear that this will make it into the 3.6. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, it's everything, then I pass the board to Nikodem.
Okay, so let me share my screen first. Yeah, so can you see my screen?
I can see the screen.
Okay, great. So to start showcasing my part, I will go with 2 tickets that are related to the requisition views. Both of them had to be modified to be able to, for the JAS user to be able to visit them. And by JAS user, I mean a user related to the partner who is supplying some of the products. So to showcase this, I will basically go to the approve screen and present the whole split requisition functionality on the UI. So I will go to the example requisition. This, as you can see, is already pre-outright, so all we have to do is to approve it. I will approve the requisition. This will take not long, actually. So as you can see, I can still see the requisition on the approve page. And when I enter it, you will see that some of the items are skipped and are marked as supplied by other warehousing partner. I am no longer able to reject the requisition. The button is still visible, but once I try to reject it, actually I am getting, in my opinion, a clean error saying that it can be rejected because it has been split already. The button is not hidden at the moment, as it will require some more work, possibly changing the requisition model a bit, because at the current state, we have no option to define whether the requisition is actually part of a split requisition, if it is the original requisition. Okay, so the showcase the actual screen for the CHAS user. I will look at the CHAS user and go to the requisition view. And I will click search. And as you can see, I'm seeing the requisitions that are in approval state. So only those requisitions that CHAS really cares about. So I can view the requisition. And you will see that only the items that are supplied by this partner are displayed in the requisition. I can not reject the requisition as it is a split one. And once I try to approve it, you can see that the approval will work. Beyond this part, we don't have any way to display the requisition as combined. It wasn't implemented in the ELMIS, so we decided to not implement that part, as we don't have a clear clear requirement on how it should work. As you can see, we can still see the approved requisition. I cannot do anything with it, but I can confirm that it was approved. I can go back and check which quantities has been approved and stuff like that. Okay, so to show that the screen also works in the offline mode, which was also a requirement, I will visit the requisition in order to cache it. And I will turn the offline mode. Okay, so as you can see, we are now in the offline mode. I can no longer go to the convert toilet as the screen is not actually accessible in offline mode, but the view screen actually is. And when I click the search, you can see that I'm only seeing the requisitions that are related with the CHAS. I'm not seeing any extra requisitions. And if I try to enter any of those requisitions, you can see that I can still do that. When I actually go to the in approval, I'm able to update the quantities. I am unable to approve it at the moment as we are in the offline mode. So everything works as intended, at least it is working for the regular requisitions. Okay, so that's it for the multiple suppliers functionality. I will now go and take a look at the design work we did for managing the Digest subscription. As you can see, the ticket is already done. There were two options that has been presented. We were linked to one of the options, which is the option A, which will be showcased at the moment. So as you can see, I will go to the screen. And actually, I will start with showing how the user profile screen works at the moment. So this is how the screen looks now. We have the basic information about the user. Also, we have a section on role assignment. And with the updated view, the screen will look something like this. So we will have a few tabs that will split the information into multiple sections. So right here, we will only have the information about the user. We will be able to update profile here and update like first name, phone number, stuff like that. Then we can go to the role assignment. This is a view only screen, so we don't have any buttons at the bottom. Here we will be able to view all the roles assigned to the user. This is basically a move. Basically, the table has been moved from the basic information to the other tab. And for the Digest subscription, this one actually isn't updated, I'm afraid. Just give me a second. I think I've updated the view to, yeah, it's here, so. Yeah, so as you can see on the Digest subscription, which will be a separate subpage, we will have the information about all the available Digest subscriptions. At the moment, we don't have any way to define whether user will be able to receive any of those notifications. So all the notifications will be visible on the list. And right here we have the information that checking this, checking the checkbox next to each of the notifications will actually result in digesting us the specific type of notification. This is something that Łukasz has already showcased. Here we'll be able to either choose to subscribe to a specific Digest subscription or to a specific Digest configuration or not. If we do that, then we will be receiving those digested messages, and if not, we'll just receive the regular ones. And right here, we'll be able to choose whether we want to receive them daily or weekly, and what hour. Yes, and once we are done here, we basically are clicking the update subscription and are updating only this part of the user profile. So if we want to update the basic information, we need to go to this view and update it here. It was done because we have showing multiple different models here, and updating them all in bulk has already proven difficult, as one some of the data might be valid for one endpoint and for the other one might not be so, and we were resulting in some partial updates to the user. So this was also split for the convenience reason. Yes, I believe that's everything if it comes to the user profile. One last thing I would like to showcase is actually changing the browser. Our unit tests are run on the for the UI. So as you can see, on Friday the build has stopped working and was giving some weird information. As you can see, the browser that has been using was the Phantom.js. And if we go down on the in the logs, we will see that it basically just crashed and at a specific moment. So as you can see, there is a 3,500 tests run. All of them has passed, but suddenly the Phantom.js just crashed. And it was due to the Phantom.js actually hitting the memory limitations. In order to fix that, I actually switched the test to Chrome headless. And as you can see, this is the first build that actually passed. We have the new browser, which is Chrome headless now, and as you can see, all the tests passed. It also resulted in less warnings, as Phantom.js is a little updated. I'm not sure if I will be able to find it now. Yeah, so as you can see, the web SQL deprecated, and that warning is no longer visible. So, yeah. And I guess that's everything for me. Are there any questions?
I just have a quick comment on the mockup. So I think that the tab was called digest subscriptions or something like that. I think I would go with as simple language as possible for the end users. So something like notification settings or notification preferences. That's just it.
Okay, could you leave a comment under the mockup?
Yeah, I can do that.
Don't
lose it. I was also wondering, since Malawi will be using this very soon, have you tried contacting them about the small mockups to leave their comments as well?
No, we didn't.
Okay, maybe it's worth checking with them as well.
Okay.
This is Ashraf. I also have a quick a comment to make. So for the multiple supplier, I think it was good work. So as far as I can tell, that you know, you implemented the ELMIS features there, and in fact you extended it further, because in ELMIS we did not have the offline capability. So that's very good work. And Elias was the original programmer for that. I wonder whether he has any comments about the implementation that you made.
I think it looks good. I have seen most of the things that we've implemented in ELMIS, and I think this might be able to address all the requirements there.
Great. Good work.
Thank you. So are there any other questions? Okay, so I will stop sharing my screen and let the next person take over.
Thank you, Nikdam and Lukash. I think we're ready to hand off to Team Parrot now.
Okay, that would be us. Let me share. Okay, so it was mentioned our sprint goal was adding reporting rights per superset report and the proof of concept for application caching for at least one resource. Actually, we have done that for two resources, so supervisor nodes and programs. Concerning the part about the reporting rights per superset report, this has been done. And as we have decided with Timona and with Josh, we took the easiest approach possible. So just hard coding those rights for now. And in the future, we'll need to think about a proper solution for both registering reports and registering rights for them. Claudia will be talking more about this pretty soon. Concerning the second part of the sprint goal, proof of concept for application level caching, Paulina has made pretty good progress on this as well. So she's currently measuring the times, so measuring the improvements that we can have, introducing the application level caching. So this ticket is also close to the completion. And before I hand it over to Paulina, I will just talk about one ticket that I have in the DOM column. And that's about the remarks column being visible in the print requisition for initiated and submitted requisitions, which should not be a case, because the remarks column only makes sense when the requisition is at least authorized. So just to remind everyone that the remarks column is the column that appears with the approved quantity. So we click the print button. This generates the PDF. And originally, before the fix, when the requisition was initiated or submitted, you would see the remarks column here as one of the columns. This is now not visible, just as approved quantity is not visible. And it will only show up once the requisition is authorized. So both the approved quantity and the remarks column will now be shown only when the requisition is authorized, approved, and so on. Okay, so Paulina, I will hand it to you.
Great. So during the last sprint, I
just moved one ticket to them, the ticket for fixing functional tests. So I don't have a lot to show, but well, comparing the page of functional test failures to the time when it was all orange, and now it looks much better and greener. What was done to make them more stable? Basically, while writing functional tests, we should remember to add something like wait for element or scroll to element before making action on that element. So these modifications had to be made in some places in our functional tests. And also there are sometimes these timeouts failures. So it is caused by, for example, the situation when there's more demo data because of some previous actions. And so naturally the browser needs to check more elements before, for example, proceeding to a requisition, and needs more time for it. That's why sometimes the timeout must be increased. As I was looking on the internet, looking for some tips on the internet, and it is quite a common situation that there are some random failures on this kind of test. And if they are really this random, then it's better to just build another, build another functional test and let them pass next time. So that would be everything from me. And I will pass the ball to Gdańsk.
Okay, let me share my screen. Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so one ticket that I have to show you is ticket about adding writes per report for superset reports. And I've added specific rights for each superset report, and currently we are enforcing them on the UI. Report view write still gives a user permission to see all reports, but a specific write gives user permission to only that one report. And maybe I will quickly show you. Okay, and now we have only a view report right in that role, reporting personal. Administrator can see all those reports. And when we edit this role and give user only those two rights to orders report and reporting rate and timelines report, and log out and log in. Then we see only those two. Yeah, and I believe that's it. Do you have any questions? If no, it will be everything for me.
Okay, and that means that it's everything from Team Parrot, I believe.
Great. Any questions for any of the work that was demoed by Team Parrot? Okay, I'm not hearing anything. So we're almost finished here. I did just want to highlight a couple of things. First, if you have tickets that have zero story points, unless that's actually representative of the amount of work that was done, team leads, please do make sure that you get those updated. Second, also make sure that the tickets that we're working on and completing for 3.6 are properly labeled, have the correct version associated with them. We're trying to use the new releases feature of Jira. We have to keep track of everything that was finished in the given release. So just be at the end of the sprint here, maybe go through and make sure that for this sprint, everything was labeled properly. And then lastly, I wanted to mention that we have decided to add an additional sprint into the 3.6 release. We were planning on finishing up at the end of this next sprint, so at the end of sprint 121. We will now be adding sprint 122 as another development sprint for version 3.6, and then start our release process on sprint 123. If you have any questions or concerns about that, you can ask me let me know on Slack or email, and I can chat about them with you. But this should give us the time to make sure that we get all of these features finished and done well. Are there any other comments anybody else has before we finish up? All right, I'm not hearing anything. Well, everybody have a good day or a good evening, depending on where you are. That's all. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.